It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Somebody say, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Somebody say, he will have whatever he says. Verse 24 is what I need you to see. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, whatever things you ask when you pray, you ask when you pray. Do you see that there? You ask when you pray. What do you do when you pray? Yeah, prayer should not be all about asking. You know, it's not every time, hi God, my name's Jimmy and I'll take all you'll give me, right? But here's the deal. I meet a lot of people who think, man, I can't ask God for that. God's got other things to deal with that are a lot bigger than my situation. I'm not going to bother him with that. God's not bothered by your prayer. He's bothered by your lack of prayers. So here's the thing. God is honored when you ask because it shows dependency on him. He's the source. He's my supply. And so when my kids come to me and ask me for things, it's not annoying to me. As parents, we want our kids to come to us and ask us for things that they need because we're there for that reason. And so it's the same with God. But the Bible says, Jesus said, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. He says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. When you pray, believe that you receive them. When did he say to believe that you received it? When you pray. And what are you doing when you pray? You're asking. So he says, when you ask for it, believe that you receive it. He says, not to wait till you see it, but if you believe it, you'll see it. Not I see it and then I believe it. That's what faith is all about. Can you say amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, today in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would give us an understanding this morning as we take all this truth that you have given us over the last 5 weeks, and God, we pull it together today. I'm asking, Father, for an understanding and a revelation for us that would be like a light bulb going off in our spirit, that you would illuminate our hearts, God, and that we would grab hold of this and really step into a life that only you can take credit for, Lord. When people look at us, they would have to say, to God be the glory, great things he has done. And so, Father, today we put our faith out there, and we ask you that if there be anyone here today that hasn't yet known your son as their savior or that is living away from you, that today would be a day of salvation and they would call on your name and see how good you are. And God, we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So Jesus says, whatever things you ask when you pray, and the reason why I'm sitting down today is because I'm really, y'all know I get excited and I run around and I sneeze and snot and snort on you. And today I really just want to teach this and talk to you about it because you got to get a hold of this. Jesus says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and then you'll have them. Now, how many of you know there is normally a gap of time between asking and receiving? Just wave at me if that's ever happened to you when you prayed. Normally, it's not instant, is it? Okay, there's normally a gap between the time you ask and the time you receive. Now, here's the thing. Most of us, when we pray, we say a prayer, we let it go like shooting an arrow into heaven. That's the end of it. We just forget about it. But in that gap, how you behave is the difference maker between seeing your prayers answered and seeing nothing happen with them in our lives. Jesus builds an expectation for us, okay? And in that gap for us is where the fight of faith is won or lost. We don't just stand around twiddling our thumbs when we ask God for something. So I'm going to give you four things you need to do, and I'd love for you to write them down on that card I gave you today. And again, we're going to use that momentarily here. But the first one is, the first thing you've got to do is when you ask God for something, when you ask him for something in prayer, you've got to start living with expectation. Somebody say expectation. Okay, you've got to live with an expectation on the inside of your spirit. Now, here's what expectation does for us. To expect is to look for something as likely to occur or appear. If I'm looking for something, if I'm expecting, I'm looking for that thing to show up in my life. I'm looking forward to it. I'm expecting or anticipating the arrival of that thing. And so Jesus says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. It was that last line that's the kicker that really begins to build an expectation in on the inside of my heart and my spirit that, wait, if Jesus said, Jed, that I could have what I asked for, then I start living with and looking for that thing to show up in my life. I'm not just saying a prayer and letting it go. I start living with an expectation. I don't expect to see it happen because of me. I expect to see it happen because Jesus said that whatsoever things I ask when I pray, believe that I receive them and I'll have them. And God's not a man that he should lie. We believe God and we take him at his word and that his word is true. Can you say amen to that today? So we use this word expecting a lot more than many of you think. And one of the most common areas you'll hear it used is with women who are pregnant. What do we call that? That lady is expecting. Why? Because she's looking for something to come. She's looking for something to show up. She knows that she's carrying something. She's been impregnated by a seed, and now she is carrying the possibility and she is growing the potential of one day in her immediate future at a set time, at an appointed time, that thing which she has expected will be delivered and show up in her life. Does she believe she's pregnant on the day she gives birth? Or did she start believing she's pregnant on the day she takes that pregnancy test and sees it? She knows that day she's pregnant, even though the baby hasn't ever been seen. Isn't that right? Even before she can feel that baby in her womb, she knows that she's pregnant. Now watch this. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says this. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, it says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you, somebody say that's me, may become partakers of the divine nature. Now, the Bible says that we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. Somebody say, great and precious promises. Now, let me define for you what a promise is. A promise is an oral or written agreement to do or not to do something. A promise, here's literally the definition, it is to give a basis for expectation. My expectancy, my expectation of what will come is the result of the promise. God has given to me exceedingly great and precious promises. This is one of them that we're looking at. That Jesus said, whatever things I ask when I pray and believe I receive them, I'll have them. That gives me a promise. God has made me a promise that releases in me a basis for expectation. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Let me show you this one. It says, for all the promises of God, all the what? How many of them? All the promises of God in him or in Jesus are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. All the promises of God. God has already said yes to you to every single promise that he has placed in his word that belongs to every believer. Jesus Christ is the ultimate yes. God has given you the biggest yes he could ever give you. God's best belongs to you right now because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because of what you've done, but because of what he's done for you. That's good news. All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. So here's what I want to say to you. Whenever we pray based on the promises, because the promises build into our lives an expectation, a basis for what will be, a basis for me to expect what God will send in my life. So when I ask God for something, I always ask according to the promise. Here's the way we need to pray. We don't pray at Victory Church, if it be your will. Because we're a people of the word, so we know his will. His word is his will, and his will is his word. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 say, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And then it goes on and says, if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the things that we've asked of him. So I never pray, God, if it be your will, because I don't pray for anything that I don't know is in his will. Just making sense today. When we pray, if it be your will, that's lazy. If I can just be totally honest with you today. We don't pray, if it be your will. We pray, it is written. That's powerful. And so when we come to God, we put him in remembrance of his word. I think it's Isaiah 53 that God says, you put me in remembrance. God doesn't need a reminder because he's forgotten his word. God likes to hear his word again. You come to me and bring me the promise. It was Abraham that said, God, you're not going to destroy all those people if there's just 10 or 15 righteous left, because you're a righteous God. He reminded God of who he was. Moses reminded God of who he was and stopped him from destroying the children of Israel when he had had it with them for their unbelief. We're talking about faith. Faith and unbelief are polar opposites. Faith and doubt are polar opposites. They run in different directions. I can't be living in both at the same time. And so we don't pray, if it be your will. We pray, it is written. And that makes a big difference. So here's the thing. The promise of God, somebody say the promise. The promise of God impregnates me with a possibility. The Bible said, I think it's in 1 Peter, that we are born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. When a woman gets pregnant, it is a seed that she is impregnated by that comes together with that egg, and together they create that embryo, that baby that grows, and life is begun at conception when the seed and the egg come together. Amen? We believe life happens at conception. Amen. Because that's what the Word of God has to say. So the promises of God, the seed of God's Word, impregnate me with possibility. And Jesus says, when you ask, you can expect to see it happen, but you've got to believe you received it when you ask for it. So the first thing you've got to do is you've got to start living with an expectation when you go to God. Now, when we ask God for that thing and we believe we received it, that's when conception takes place in the womb of our spirit. We become pregnant at that moment. And a woman who is pregnant knows that it's just a matter of time before she gives delivery and her miracle shows up. When you ask God for something, you need to know that it's only a matter of time before what you have asked for actually shows up when you believe you received when you asked. Because most of us know God can. And most of us know God does, but the thing we're screaming out for on the inside is, when, God, am I going to see this happen? And the Bible says in Hebrews 6:12 that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the what? How many of you have ever been pregnant? Okay. Did it take some faith and patience? Did it test your patience? Right? I mean, there are times when it gets downright uncomfortable. Is that true? I mean, I don't know. But I've been told. Okay, so the first thing you've got to do is start living with expectation. The second thing you've got to do is you've got to, once you pray that prayer and you believe you receive when you ask, you got to stand. Somebody say stand. You got to stand in faith on the Word of God. That's something you hear in church. People say, I'm standing on the promise. I'm standing on the Word. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean I take a Bible, throw it on the floor, and go stand on it? No. To stand on the promises, here's what that means. What that means is, no matter what I see, no matter what I hear, no matter what I feel, I stand in faith on the promise that God gave me, that whatever things I ask, when I pray, believe that I receive them and I'll have them. I stand in faith on that promise that God will do what he said he would do. Remember, I don't ask for anything without a promise connected to it. That's why I've got to know what the Word of God has to say. Amen? Because the Bible says in James that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Your prayer ought to be profitable. In business, if I'm not making a profit, I need to shut my doors and find something else I can do to make money out. Prayer is a lot like a business. You ought to be profitable in your prayer life. If not, you're going to constantly be discouraged and defeated and going, why does God never move for me but for everybody else? It's not that God's a respecter of them and not of you. It's that God's a respecter of faith. Remember, faith is a force that is forward directed. It's never passive. It is aggressive. It is never backwards reaching, but it always is pushing ahead, and it has the power to mark your life for a miracle, move your mountain, and meet your need. That's what we're talking about with faith, okay? So powerful that we understand. So when I stand in faith on the Word, that means that when I'm living in the gap between asking and receiving, there are times when things come to me that don't line up with what I've asked for. I mean, it looks like the opposite. Sometimes things look worse, don't they? You with me this morning? Sometimes things look worse. And so what am I going to do in the gap? Am I going to stand in faith on the Word of God? Am I going to cling to the promises of God? Or am I going to let go of those things and pull the ripcord? Am I going to abort the promise? Remember, I'm talking about being pregnant with the promise of God and how you behave between the time you conceive and the time you give birth. Many times we abort the promise of God and we give up on the promise and we let the promise die in the birth canal of our spirit. And it's important that we not do that. And so when I stand in faith on the Word of God, I say, God, I still believe you will do what you said you would do. And I refuse to be talked out of what you've promised me, because the promise gave me a basis for my expectation. And so in the gap, I keep coming back to the Word of God, because there are going to be things I see that disagree with what I'm believing God for. And he said, I believed, I received when I asked it. Amen. There are going to be things I'm going to hear. There's going to be reports I hear. And they're going to disagree with what I'm believing God for. But during those times, you've got a choice to make. Are you going to believe that report, or are you going to believe God's report? Are you going to believe what you see, or are you going to believe what the Word of God says? 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. I don't live by what I see. I live by what the Word of God says. I don't live by what I see. I live by what the Word of God says in my life. I keep coming to the Word when I'm living in the gap. Here's why. Because the promise keeps me grounded in the gap. It settles me down. The promise of God releases peace into my heart whenever the storms are raging in my life. How many of you have ever been through a storm? Yeah? Okay, how about Peter? Remember the storm he was in, and Jesus comes walking across the water? They're out in the boat. The wind is whipping. The waves are crashing. You know, I mean, it's a pretty severe scene. And he looks out across the water, and he sees Jesus, and he says, Jesus, if that's you, just tell me to come to you, and I'll come. Jesus says one word. He says, come. Peter steps. Everybody else in the boat heard it, but one man steps out. Peter steps out of the boat onto the water. You're like, yeah, I heard this in Sunday school 1,000 times. Do you hear what we're saying? Peter steps out of the boat and stands on the water. That is totally contrary to everything natural, isn't it? It is impossible in the natural for you to stand on the water. But although we live in a natural world, we're a supernatural people. Amen? And so God gives us the ability to do things you could never do without him. Peter steps out of the boat. But can I tell you today that he's not standing on the water, he's standing on the Word. Jesus says one word to him, he says, come. Peter didn't step out on the water, he stepped out onto the Word, because he didn't get out of the boat. The water was always there. He didn't get out of the boat until Jesus said, come. And he steps out on one four-letter word, C-O-M-E. Here's why. Because the Word of God is already established in the heavens. It's settled forever. The Word of God is the foundation. The Word of God is that which I can step out on nothing and expect to land on something. Whenever there's nothing there that says I can be healed. When there's nothing there that says I can finish my classes. When there's nothing there that says I can do what God's called me to do. When there's nothing there that says I'm going to be able to pay my bills. When there's nothing there that gives me any hope that my loved one will be saved or that person I'm believing God for. The Word of God is that which I can always step out onto nothing and expect to land on something. So he didn't step out on the water, he steps out on the Word. And here's the word he steps out on, come. Jesus is speaking the same word over your life right now. Come. What will you do by faith for his glory? Because we're still talking about it 2,000 years later. So he steps out on the Word, come. He's standing in faith on the Word of God. That's exactly what we do. When the storm is raging all around you, we stand in faith on the Word. So number one, I start living with expectation. I'm getting pregnant. Number two, I stand on the Word of God. And number three, you've got to stay focused on the promise. Somebody say, stay focused. You've got to stay focused on the promise that God has given you. You cannot get your eyes off onto anything else. You must become single-minded in that which you are believing God to do in your life. Again, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You've got to stay focused on the promise. Watch this. Back to Peter. Peter's standing on the water and he begins to walk. At some point, he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he begins to look at the waves. He begins looking around at what the effects of the wind. The Bible says when he did that, he sank. He didn't sink until he took his eyes off of God. He didn't sink until he took his eyes off of Jesus. We must keep our eyes on Jesus when we're believing God for something in our lives. When I keep my eyes on Jesus, I can walk through hell in a pair of flip-flops. Because the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But it also says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. But then it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. And he's Jehovah Shalom. He's the Lord my peace. So the promises give me a place to focus. I've got to start expecting, stand on the word, and stay focused. The promises of God give me a place to focus my faith. It does not take a lot of faith to move the hand of God. It just requires us to focus the faith we already have. Does that make sense this morning? The promise of God gives me a place where I can focus my faith. Okay? So number one, start living with expectation. Number two, stand on the word. Number three, stay focused on the promise. And number four, strengthen your faith with praise. Strengthen your faith with praise. So powerful. Jesus said, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. When did he say to believe that you received it? When you asked for it. So if you actually believe you received it, then what is a natural response to do when someone gives you something? Thank you. When I move from asking God through petition over and over and over, and I in the gap I get desperate because as days go by, I don't see it happening. So if I keep on asking God, I get more desperate by the day. I get more hopeless by the day. But watch this. The Bible says you're a believer, not a beggar. You're a believer, not a beggar. So if whatsoever things I ask when I pray, I believe I receive them, then I don't need to keep asking over and over. Watch this, because I'm about to take a load of bricks off your back. I start saying, Father, I thank you that it's done. Because when I'm asking in the gap, I'm hopeless, I'm desperate, I'm begging God. And I've watched people do that, and I know that when they start doing that, I just step back and watch and see if maybe God will sovereignly bless them, because I know 99% of the time they don't get what they're asking for. Because God doesn't respond to that. But faith says thank you, and it believes it receives when it asks. And so instead of saying, God, please, 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 God, I beg you to do this. God, I'm begging you to do this. What if I simply change and start saying, Father, I thank you that I'm healed. I thank you that my baby's saved. I thank you, Father, that my body's taken care of. I thank you that my mind is whole. I thank you that my needs are met. I thank you for that job, Father. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Now I've gone from becoming weaker by the day in the gap to growing stronger day by day. I'm talking to you about how you can pray prayers and grow stronger in the gap between asking and receiving, where most people become more helpless as time goes by until they give up altogether. I'm showing you this morning, according to the Word of God, how you can grow stronger day by day and become more excited day by day until the day you see it come to pass in your life. That type of expectation doesn't just fill the gap. It doesn't just give me something to do, but watch this. It closes the gap. It pulls me asking and me receiving together. Because I'm not trying to talk God into it. God is helping you get to a point in your faith where you actually believe he's already done what you said he would do. And when you hit that point, bam, you're going to see the manifestation of the miracle show up in your life. Why? Because faith is like a muscle, and God is trying to get you to exercise those muscles so that they will grow. Does this make sense today? Come on, give God praise. And so I become more confident by the day rather than more confused. And that's powerful for us to understand. Now, I want you to take your expectation card that you got today. And here's what I do with these. I write down what I've asked God for. Many times I'll write down the date that I asked him for it. And I believed I received on that day that I asked. And that expectation card, remember, it doesn't take a lot of faith. It just takes your faith to be focused on what it is you're believing God for. And every single day, I'll come back to that card and I begin thanking and praising God. And many times I'll write down the promise that goes with it next to what I've asked. Because the promise is what gives me expectation in my life. And I come back to that card every single day and I'm thanking God that it's done. And I'm reminding Him of His word. And this is something I've lived by every single day of my life for the last 15 years. And let me share with you a couple stories that will help you really take some doctrine and wrap some flesh around it and show you how to walk it out. March 18th of 2000 was one of the greatest days of my life. I bought a plane ticket from Oklahoma City to Columbus, Ohio, get on a plane in St. Louis to connect, and there sitting behind me is the most gorgeous blue-eyed brunette I've ever seen in my life. Marsha, please don't get offended. Just kidding, it was Marsha. But I'm going to look at World Harvest Bible College in Columbus, Ohio. I'd looked at other schools and just finished up college, and my pastor said, why don't you just go look at World Harvest? And so I go out and I look at World Harvest and I see the school and blah, blah, blah. And so I know that that's the place God wants me to go, and I'm flying home on the 20th and I know that I'm going to need a job. Now, I've been working my way through college living in Norman, Oklahoma, and I worked at a bank called Republic Bank of Norman, and I was making $8.25 an hour. I think at that time, minimum wage was like $5.75, so that's a pretty substantial amount over that. I was making good money already at the time, and I knew that I would need a job when I went to Bible college. And so I began to pray and ask God for a job, and so I prayed like this. I said, Father, I ask you for a job. When I get to Columbus, I pray that it would work around my school schedule. And I just felt like I needed to pray for $12 an hour. That was unheard of in 2000 for a college kid going through school. And so I asked God for a job where I'd make $12 an hour. And I also asked that God, whenever I get to Columbus, Ohio, I pray that that job would come and find me the first week I'm there. So man, starting to stretch there and get on out there in some of the things I'm asking for. But I wrote it down, and I actually still have... This is cool. What I wrote it on, I wrote it on a pack of seeds. Now, the Word of God is a seed, amen? It's an incorruptible seed, and I wrote it down. And so every day I would hold this pack of seeds up, and I would thank God for my job in Columbus, Ohio, a town that's 950 miles away. And this is in March. I started praying this and probably didn't miss maybe 4 or 5 days between March 20th and August 1st. And so I begin thanking God. I'll hold this up as my point of contact. Remember last week, the woman with the issue of blood grabbed Jesus, him, right? So this was my place to release my faith every single day. There's nothing special about the seeds other than they grow a beanstalk that reaches to heaven. Just kidding. There's nothing special about the seeds. It's not a magic lucky rabbit's foot. It was just a point of contact for me to every day come back before God and remind Him of His promise that if I believe I receive when I asked, He'd give it to me. And so I'd say, Father, I thank you for that job. When I get to Columbus, it works around my school schedule. I thank you that I'm going to be making $12 an hour. I thank you, Father, that they're going to work with me. I thank you, Father, that that job will come find me the first week I'm there. And so August 1st, I moved to Columbus, Ohio. And that night, me and my two roommates go out to eat. This is 4.5 months later, 950 miles away from where I was in Norman, Oklahoma. And while we're at P.F. Chang's eating lettuce wraps, one of my roommates says to me, hey, I've got a buddy who just got a job. And I said, oh, really? Where? He says, a place called Safe Flight. I said, oh, that's interesting. I said, how much does he make an hour? He said, $12 an hour. Can I tell you that I got a job there 950 miles away, 4.5 months later, God had prepared a place for me at $12 an hour that didn't just come to me the first week I was there. It came to me the first night I was there, exactly how I prayed it. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. You will have whatever you say. But here's the thing, faith is not just there to bless you, it's there to bless others. And so not only did I work there, but my wife worked there too. And we worked there for almost the next 2 years. We got married, we worked less than 40 hours a week. They gave us full-time benefits, paid vacations. We took our whole honeymoon, paid vacation. I mean, it was just great. It was an incredible place, but it shows you the power of believing God and how this really works. When we live with expectation, stand in faith on the word, even when people try to talk you out of it, stay focused on what God has said to us and strengthen our faith by giving praise to God. Now, let me tell you another story. We started Victory Church September 19th of 2004. The previous Tuesday, we had gone and looked at the building at 180 Center Street here, that building here in town. We still own it. It was a Church of Christ building for 120 years. Incredible, 120 years. And so they had shut their doors the week before, and then we had started service the next week. And so when we moved into it, we started believing God for that building. I didn't want people to see Victory Church as a transient church that was hopping from place to place, and we needed a permanent home. And so when we moved into that building, immediately started asking God for that building and said, Father, we need the building. You've called us to begin a church here, and so we claim it for your kingdom and to bring you glory in a place where people can have their lives touched and your word can go forth. And that's what happened there for 2 years until we moved into the local school. But I begin to pray like this. I begin to pray, Father, I pray that we would receive this building free and clear and that it wouldn't cost us anything except $1 and only that to make it legal. And so day by day, we were believing God for that, and I would go back to God again, thanking Him on a regular basis, all the time. Father, I thank You for that building free and clear. I thank You that it's no more than a dollar, and it'll only be that to make it legal. I thank You for a place where we don't have to be transient, but we can have a permanent home for ministry to take place and Your word to go forth. And can I tell you that 6 months later, from September to March, I was sitting in the attorney's office down here at Brand Caldwell and Sheets with the last trustee of the church saying, I'm going to sign it over to you lock, stock, and barrel. And before I got there that day, my neighbor, she called me and she told me some of what I would need to bring to the meeting. And whenever I asked how much it would cost, she said $1 to make it legal. See, faith is worth more than money. I said, faith is worth more than money. I don't need money when I've got faith. Amen. That's why when people who don't know this ministry say that all they care about is money, that's crazy. Because we never had money to start with. People think we've got money because we're doing great things for the kingdom of God. That's just because the more you use it, the more God will give you. The more you set on it, the less you'll have. This property that we have right now, 11.68 acres of land, we had outgrown the building by December of 2005. We went and started looking for land. Actually, y'all can watch this.
Remember all that God has, is, and continues to do through the ministries of Victory Church, your church. Today I stand before you on a piece of property that we began to pursue about 15 months ago, a piece of property where we can continue to grow and expand. This is a place where we can continue to spread out. This is a piece of property that gives us a location from which we will continue to fulfill the Great Commission and the calling that God has placed upon us as a church. You know, we are not a church that is retreating. We're a church that's moving forward in the direction God's called us. We're a church that is advancing the kingdom of God, advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's as we continue to patiently persevere, pressing forward in the direction God has called us, we will see the vision of Victory Church become a reality in our community. So it's with great joy that I announce to you for the very first time today as a congregation that on Thursday, September 13th of this year, I signed a contract for 11.67 acres of this beautiful land. And all that we can say is, to God be the glory, great things He has done.
It's a little empty, isn't it? Guys, you can mute that now. Isn't that cool? That's what this place looked like. There was a big tree line in there before we moved in. But, man, Wade, where are you at? Yeah, right there. I remember coming and seeing you at the dealership, and we'd talk back and forth. And I had gone to the property owner and asked them about the property. They said, no, it's not for sale. And, you know, I'm too stubborn to give up. And so we went back again a short time later, and they said, well, we'll consider it. And so this was the only place we wanted to stay in town that was like this. And I met with them on June 30th of 2006 to discuss the plans and what we wanted to do here. And so I went back home that day, and I wrote this down. I wrote down, to God be the glory, ! It's ours, ! Free and clear, ! And then I wrote down two promises. I wrote down Mark 9:23 which says all things are possible to him that believes. And Ephesians 3:20, which says, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or can even think. And so again, we went back to thanking God and praising God day by day that he would do what he said he would do and that we would have this property to build his kingdom and bring him glory. And so again, every day I was reminding God of his promises, and rather than asking, every day I'm giving him thanks that it's already done. 4.5 months later, the owner called and said he had a proposal. Month by month continued to go by, and the whole time we're still believing, we're still expecting, we're still praising God. It was 1.5 years later before we would actually sign the papers on the property. And we were able to write a check that day for the property, and it was ours, and it was totally free and clear, and we did not need to borrow anything. And that was just after a few years of being in ministry. And so that's Mark 9:23. That's all things are possible to them that believe. But remember, I wrote down Ephesians 3:20 and was hanging on to that too, which says, unto him who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think. I wanted the icing. And so we signed a lease on the property at $2,200 an acre, and not only paid in full for the property, got all our money back that we paid for to get it, but we actually came out like $1,300 ahead. So we literally did not pay a penny for the property that we owned. And God came through on the Mark 9:23, and he also came through on the Ephesians 3:20. And God will do this for you. And for the sake of time tonight, I'm not going through a lot of the personal things where we've seen God move in our lives. But let me tell you, God expects us to be a people that are constantly experiencing increase, going from glory to glory, height to height, and victory to victory. So I want you to see this slide, because Victory Church has never, somebody say never, experienced a year of decrease. And I put together a slide that shows you the number of salvations by year. And I want you to look at this and just take a second to see what God has actually done here, because it's all about souls. It all comes back to souls. Isn't that incredible? I mean, that is amazing. And every year we have experienced increase, and this is why, because of the way we behave in the gap. And the more of us that come together with this understanding and apply our faith to the promises of God, then not only do you experience victory in your home and in your personal life every single day in a greater way, but we do corporately. And man, we're reaching our world for Jesus. When I tell other ministers and ministries about what God's doing here, they almost don't believe me. It's incredible. And all we can say is, to God be the glory, great things he has done. But the word works. But you've got to know how to work the word. Can you say amen? Faith is that force that has the power to move your mountain and meet your need and mark your life for the miraculous. Faith works when the economy's not working. Faith works when nothing else will work for you. Faith works when the doctors say there's no hope. Faith works. Okay, and that faith is living on the inside of you right now today. You don't need more faith. You just need to use the faith that you've already got. Let me tell you one more story. And Anna, come down front here with Daddy. You can come sit with Mommy, because I'm going to need you in just a second. Anna was born in what year? 05. January of 05. And year after year had gone by, and we still were not able to have a baby. And we're believing God for a baby. And so I was hanging on to the promises, and I wrote this down. Year by year, I had it on my expectation card. Now I'll take three of these, and I've taught the guys to do this too, but I'll take three of them, and I have one for my personal life and how I'm believing God for change in me that year and increase, one for my family, and then one for the ministry. And so I pray those constantly, and it helps us become very intentional about what we're believing God for. But year after year, I'd write down on that card, baby. We were believing God for a baby, and I wrote down promises like Luke 6:38 and 2 Corinthians 9:6, and I wrote down promises like Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, that God has created us in his own likeness and his own image, and he's given us authority and dominion, and he has called us to multiply and be fruitful and be a people who bring increase in the earth. That's a promise for you if you're believing God for a child and you can't have one. And so I would hold that card up, and day by day I would thank God for a baby. I would thank God for that new child. I would thank God that my wife's womb was hospitable and not hostile to conception. I would thank God that my body was functioning perfectly and able to produce babies. And I would every day be speaking a blessing over our bodies. And there was another couple in the church, almost the exact same story. And every time I would pray for us, I would be praying for them. Our daughters, Anna and their daughter, were born at the same time. They weren't able to have a baby either and had really exhausted most of their options. And so in 2011, I'm holding this card up, believing God every day. Thank you, Father, for a baby. Thank you, Father, for a baby. And every month you have that awful reminder and go through the emotions of, no baby this month. And that's when it comes time to stand in faith on the word, and you can decide, am I going to stand on what God said, or am I going to believe what I see? And so I kept hanging on to the promises. Father, I thank you for a baby. I thank you for giving us a child. I thank you for doing what you promised you'd do. I thank you that our bodies are functional. I speak to every mountain that stands in the way, and I command it to be removed, every blockage. I command to get out of the way in the name of Jesus, and I release that child to be birthed into my wife's body, just like Jesus said. And so, let's see when it was. July 22nd, we found out, I've still got the pregnancy test, that Marcia was pregnant. And man, we were going nuts. But I think it was maybe 1 week later, almost to the day, that Marcia woke up in the middle of the night and blood was all over the bed and she's just screaming and she's totally heartbroken and thought it was over. She had lost the baby. And immediately my mind goes to Anna, because I remember laying in bed with her at night and her asking for a little sister, and I'm thinking, I'm just angry at the devil. I'm saying, I am not going to go tell my six-year-old that God didn't hear her and didn't do what he said he would do. That God's not big enough to take care of this situation. And so we just begin praying, and that song's going through my head that we sing, "We Will Believe the Report of the Lord." And I just start singing that. I just start thinking that. And we're hanging on to what the Word of God has to say, not what we see, not what we feel, not what the doctor's report was. As a matter of fact, the doctor's report was that it was not a viable pregnancy, and that the baby would not even be born. And so we just hoped against hope, and we kept believing God and thanking God day by day. And sure enough, on March 18th of 2012, Zoe was born. And so she is living proof that God is able. But that other couple that had been struggling with becoming pregnant for a few years at the same time gave birth to their baby. And their baby, and I'm just going to say who it is this morning. Nikki, would you stand up? Do you have Mariah in here today? Oh my goodness. So they were born how far apart? 2 days. 2 days apart. So again, not only does faith work for your life, but faith is there to be a blessing to others. And don't in any way think I was the only one praying. There were many others praying that that would take place. But collectively, it was the power of prayer and it was the power of faith that literally, and every baby is a miracle, but you're looking at the Word made flesh today. You're looking at come here. You're looking at promises that were fulfilled. But listen to me today. Come here, baby. God wants you to give birth to His Word. He wants you to give birth to a miracle. He wants you to give birth to something that everybody can see. And I mean, they just stop and ooh and ah over. And this one. And the one who made them. And Marcia too. Just kidding. But I'm serious. God wants you to give birth to something And so this is what I'm talking about with faith. Everything we've talked about for the last 5 weeks. Believing God. What faith is. The ability to know Him. Faith begins where the will of God is known. The power of confessing the Word of God in your life. The power of acting on the Word and doing what the Word said to do. The power of living with an expectation in your spirit. The power of standing in faith, the power of staying focused, the power of strengthening your faith by giving God praise. This isn't just something for preachers. This is something, Joey, for every single one of you. Amen? The Word doesn't just work for me, it works for you. Would you look at the person beside you and just tell them that today? The Word works for me. The Word works for me. Would you stand with me this morning? And here's the thing. Your Bible says in 1 John, the Bible says this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. By faith we overcome. He says, who is he who overcomes but he who believes that Jesus is the Christ? He who has the Son has life. And becoming an overcomer begins with believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, the greatest victory of all. It begins with saying with your mouth, Jesus, you're the Lord and Savior of my life. And here's why you need Jesus, because we've all sinned and we've all blown it. None of us have lived a perfect life, but Jesus did. And so Jesus was able to become a sacrifice and a substitute and die in our place. He died my death so that I could live his life. He died for my sin so that I could become righteous like he is. He became cursed so that I could become a blessing. And life, true life, I'm not talking about breathing. I'm talking about living. I started breathing in 1978, but I didn't start living until 1999. There will be a day I stop breathing, but because I'm in Christ, I will never stop living because He is the resurrection and He's the life. And even though I die, I shall continue to live. That's what life is all about. But faith in Jesus doesn't just prepare you for death, it prepares you to live a life. A life of purpose, a life of promise, a life of power, a life in His presence, a life of provision, a life beyond what you could ever imagine. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a moment, I want to ask you, are you ready to stand before God? Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life? Marcia said it so well this morning. He loves you like you're the only person alive, and He would have died on the cross just for you. And the most important question you'll ever answer is, have you received Jesus as your Savior and Lord?